Welcome to this inspiring message from Grace Life Church. We do hope you enjoy it. For more information about us, please see our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Father, we're right now, we come to you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us this morning. We expect you to visit us. We expect you to speak to us and to teach us and speak to us by your Spirit about how prayer can pull the power of God out of heaven into our worlds today. And we really look to you and trust you now. Amen. Fantastic. Excited to speak to you about this prayer that works. And because we have got to see... What? No idea. We're in a place in the church where we need to see a real shift in how we approach prayer. Most everybody in the world will pray from some time, at some time or other. But many people and many Christians don't have any great conviction that God's going to answer their prayers. Sometimes people say things like this, well, let's just have some prayer. And they really, at the very best, they're kind of just hoping something will happen. But that's not the picture that we have of prayer when it comes to the Bible. We've just got a short time with you this morning, so I'm going to ask you to focus because I want for God to speak to our hearts powerfully. I know that they have four-hour meetings in China, so I'm going to cut it down to two this morning, and we're going to have a great time. But I tell you, we need to have a real hunger for the presence of God, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. We have got to call on God in a different way to what we have before. We've got to understand that when we touch the power of God, when we touch the presence of God, everything else changes. And I'm inspired by that clip that we saw just a moment ago, because those people in relative to our world would have very little by and large. But then when they have a house church meeting and they've got to be hidden and they have an outreach meeting and the Christians are sitting and the other people are standing and a young girl who got healed is speaking, and 1,000 people come to Jesus in a meeting like that. I would rather have 1,000 people come into Jesus and not be driving the car I drive and not be having the iPhone I have and not be too concerned about. We've got to get a hold of the things of God. We've got to be the people of God. And that means you and that means me. And prayer, of course, is very fundamental. It's very well understood to be a basic tenet of Christian faith. But how do we actually get the power of God into our lives? Let's look at this first. I've just got three quick things we're going to talk about. And the first one we mentioned last time, very bold persistence. I know that Lawrence was listening. He mentioned it to you this morning. Listen to me really carefully. You won't get much from God unless you pray with boldness. And what the devil would love to do is just shut you down. Discourage you. Oh, it's just too difficult. I'm too busy. Nobody else I know prays like that. I don't know. How do you expect me to? What do I have to get all animated? And it's not any of those things. It's the fact that what you need in your life to make it work the way it's supposed to work is God's presence and God's power. You are never going to be a totally happy person unless you have God in your life, and prayer is the ability to call on God, for God to come and visit, for God to come and speak to you, for you to encounter God like Carrie was relating to before. And this remarkable woman, the whole passage is there. We spoke about it before, but it's this widow, this picture of somebody that doesn't have anything. But she found out how to get prayers answered. And at the bottom here it says, I tell you, at the bottom section phrase, it says, the Lord says, listen to what this unjust judge says. And won't God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you that he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus knew the day we'd be living in, when there are lots of Christian people, bless their darling hearts, who really don't pray that way. And there's really not an excuse for us not to pray that way. It's crazy for us to say we're following Jesus, and then he says, okay, so this is how you pray. And we say, well, Jesus, you know, I mean, Christian, we're following you, but that's not how we do it. When you do it the way he said do it, it works. If it hasn't worked for you well, it's highly likely there's something he said do that you haven't done yet. And my job is to communicate with you and inspire you and help you to get that thing going in your life. Because when God answers your life, everything changes. Some of us are sitting here this morning and we're frustrated about things. Some of us are distracted. I've only been speaking a few minutes. And some of us already have had difficulty staying focused on what we're talking about because our mind is full of all this other stuff that's going on. I want you to stay with me for 15 minutes and get a hold of something this morning that's incredibly important. How to pray. Number one, bold persistence. Look at this line here. She just kept coming with the plea, grant me justice, and for some time he refused. Everyone say, for some time he refused. That's God. And you might say to God, I've been praying, and for some time he refused. Another version says, he would not for a while. When you're praying about something, when you've got an area, and sometimes some of us are in challenged places right now because God's going to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention. In fact, when I was praying for you, Lana and Nathan, your husband, and we're recording this, but God was speaking to me yesterday about you. And he was saying to me, don't be afraid at the storm that's assailing you. Don't you remember how Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians that he felt like he was bereft even of life? And these things were allowed so that his trust would be in God and not in himself. And God says, you know, I selected you and I selected your husband and I put you together. And I've got a call and I've got a purpose, but the call and the purpose is concerning greater things and deeper things than the things that you're currently pursuing. And so don't be afraid of the storm, for the storm will go, but allow God, reach into God and find a strength in God, because there is coming, God's goodness is on your life, and there's coming a purpose. But it's like there is a shift of some things you've got in place. And I'm speaking to Nathan as well. He's not here. But there's some certain things he's got in place in his life, a certain way of approaching life, and God is wanting to shift it. And Nathan is the kind of guy that those things don't shift that easily, because he likes the way he does things. And it's not in any way a demeaning thing. But I know that God is shifting things because there is something that's to flow out of your lives together that is far greater than anything you've seen thus far. Thank God. So we bless you and release God's power to you. And while we're here, Brighton and Amy, I just want to say to you, the Holy Spirit is working in your lives. The Holy Spirit is at work. God's call is at work. God's blessing is upon your life, and the word of the Lord is you're doing good. You're in the will of God. Keep going forward. Don't let some negative things shake them off, push them off, because there is a purpose and a divine calling in your connection. And we bless these two, Lord, and we thank you that your hand of grace and anointing would be upon them. And we thank you that you speak to Amy about Bright, and that you speak to Bright about Amy. And Father, that they get revelation for each other's lives. And at this important season, Father God, that they hear your voice above every other voice as they prepare a great life with your hand upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He would not for a while. That's just what God's like. He just wouldn't for a while. And haven't you read Christians? Haven't you met Christians? Haven't you ever thought this thought? Why is God not answering? Why? I've just asked these things so many times. Well, it's right here. He just won't for a while. Well, why does God do that? Well, God will do whatever God wants to do. The instructions are there, though. The guidelines there. So when you're talking to God and he's not doing something, you say, hey, God, I remember how you said to that woman you would not for a while, but then you actually did because you... And all God's trying to do is get you to persist. Are you hungry enough for God to come and visit your world? And the next point, the second thing we've got today, how prayer pulls the power of heaven. Here it comes. Say it and declare it, don't ask it. Sometimes when you pray, you're asking. A lot of times when you pray, praying being communicating with God, you're in the presence of God, you're doing business with God. Sometimes when you pray, you're not asking, you're stating things. You're declaring things. You have the ability and the authority to determine how things go in this life. You have been anointed by God. You've been empowered by God. Jesus is not on the planet. There's no flesh and bone or blood Jesus on the planet. You're on the planet. You're his representative. Together, we're the body of Christ. Some are arms, some are legs, some are ears, which is why the gathering together of God's people in his house is so important. Why the writer to the Hebrews pleads with them, don't abandon the gathering together of the brothers, as is the habit of some. Nothing's changed. There was the habit of some people back then, and that was written about AD 60. There's the habit of some that they just didn't have that commitment to gathering together. But in Acts chapter 2, when we see the birth of the church, the start of this phenomenal thing called the Church of Jesus, you see in verse 42 that they devoted, everyone say devoted, they devoted themselves to four things. I wonder if you could ask yourself, if you asked your own heart, if you're writing down thoughts, is there anything you're really devoted to? Really devoted. Such a strong word. I'm devoted. I guess if we're a good husband or a good wife, then some of us would say, yeah, I'm devoted to my wife. I am sure there are lots of husbands and lots of wives, nice people, I'm sure, that if you really measured devotion in their heart with a special little angelic measuring stick that can measure these things, you'd find that they may well love their partner and they may well be good people, but they may well not be all that devoted, really. Sometimes people are devoted to their children more than they're devoted to their spouse. That's not a good idea. Just some free marriage counseling for you while you're there. The spouse is more important than the children. Just thought I'd throw that in for nothing. Devoted. And they were devoted. This early church that saw these miracles, that saw these great things, which is where we're positioned now, which is what God wants to do now. Remember this, there's nothing written in the book of Acts, there's nothing in the New Testament that shouldn't be happening right now, today, here, where we are. That's my determination in my heart. That's what I'm living, breathing, dying if I have to for. To see what God put in place happen in our world right now, right here, wherever I go. So if I go on holidays, which I will do, when I put my foot on that other ground, the blessing of God's going to be on that ground. I'm going to walk into shopkeepers, and the presence of God is going to walk in. Whether I speak their language or not, doesn't matter. Then you say, well, who does he think he is? Well, I think I'm the same as you. I think God's my Father, and Jesus has authorized me to live for him and represent him. How else are we going to see the world turn to Jesus if we don't bring him everywhere we go? Like one preacher I know said, I don't know, if he didn't come with you, he certainly came with me. You're a carrier of the presence of God. And so we've got to see that now. Now this thing here, watch this, declaring and not asking. You see, you've been authorized. a lot of Christians see themselves as relatively helpless people that have to call on God for everything. Now, calling on God, is very good. But that's not really the picture. The picture is we're the body of Christ together. We need one another. And we're individually members of that body, but each of us represents Jesus. In fact, we were called to imitate God. Be imitators of God, one verse says. Just do like God does. There's another verse in 1 John that says, as he is, so are we in this world. Say that with me. As he is, so am I in this world. I'm just like God in this world. We say, oh, hang on a minute. No, that's what it said. You're like God in this world. You're representing him. And Jesus has that idea in his head when he's thinking of you 2,000 years ago, and then he writes us this. Have the faith of God, Jesus answered. And now, I added this, and now let me explain to you how this faith of God works. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and doesn't doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it'll be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it'll be yours. That's verse 24. Let's focus on 23. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, how many of you talk to mountains? How many of you declare things in your life? See, sometimes I hear Christians and they pray like this. They say, Lord, we tell these mountains to move. You're kind of confused still. You want to go there, but you haven't quite got it clear in your head. No point telling the Lord, you're telling the mountain. It's the mountain you talk to. You'll move. So I tried this recently in my work, one of the areas that I work in, right? So what I do, one of the things I do is kind of part of ministry, is that I do a lot of funerals. And there's probably 25 different what are called funeral houses or funeral arrangers that I have contact with. And every time somebody passes away, the paperwork comes into one of these offices and they make a decision. Unless the people say, well, we're Roman Catholic, so we insist on the local Roman Catholic priest. Some of them do that. We're Church of England. We want the local Anglican guy. Some of them will want that. Or we don't want anything at all. We're going to do it all ourselves. Thank you very much. But there's a significant proportion, perhaps it's 40% maybe, where the funeral arranger has to decide, well, who am I going to use that's going to best look after this family and lead the service the way this family wants? Which I always consider a real privilege, right? Are you with me? So I thought, well, here we go. I've got a page on my, because I'm a little bit focused, you know, just a little bit diligent. I've got a page. I did a little hand-drawn map, and I've got the 25 there, little squares with their names on them. And then when I pray, the one way I can pray is I can ask God to speak to them. But then I thought, I can actually do this as well. So I said, today, I'm not saying to God, I'm in the presence of God, I'm saying today, so-and-so at this branch is getting funerals, and they're coming to me. And this person is getting funerals, and I can see them, and it's happening. And I don't have any doubt in my heart that that's exactly what's happening. Because that's the bit he's talking about, faith. No doubt, does not doubt in his heart, believes that what he says will happen. Now, people, mostly, the reason why their prayer lives are not very exciting, and your prayer life ought to be the most exciting part of your day. Just slap yourself one time and say, let me get that right, yeah. Your prayer, the time with God ought to be the most exciting time of your day. And I prophesy a time's coming right here in where we are in our church that the prayer meeting is going to be more exciting than the Sunday morning meeting. Now, I love the Sunday morning meeting. I love the singing. I thought the guys were awesome. I thought you guys were awesome. Now, ladies' job, by the way, in our, you don't use us, is just to get you into it. If you guys are into it, we're happy. If we're like totally into it and you're not, we haven't done a very good job, really. And you guys were cranking this morning. Did you feel like God liked what he heard and saw from us? You see, and so I don't know how I got to that, but it was a really good thought. Something about a lady anyway, leading the thinger. And we in this prayer thing, we're talking, that's right, prayer meetings will be the biggest thing. Because prayer ought to be the most exciting time of your life. Because in prayer, things shift. But they don't shift if you're not convinced in your heart. And so a lot of people will do this. They'll go home and they'll say, well, I should try that. You know, Pastor Paul seems like a nice guy. It looked like it was in the Bible as far as I could see. And so let's give it a try. Well, that's always a good step to start put the Bible into practice. If you haven't noticed, if you don't practice, nothing happens. Or as somebody else once said, the greatest key to determine what happens with your life is action. What are you actually doing? A lot of us separate thinking from action. We thought about doing it, and it's the thought that counts. That was a joke there. Nearly went over, Keith. It nearly went over. And but action is what determines it. What do you actually do? And see, a lot of people, they might try it, and that's good. You start to try it. But listen, you've got to get convinced that what you say will start to happen. Because that's what God said. Are you with me? And so that's what I was doing. And so I'm saying, and I'm mentioning the names of certain funeral directors. Some of them give me a lot of work, and others of them give me less work, and some of them have given me no work at all. But I just talk about all of them. I say, and these people here, these people in Hounslow, today, and I'll say it every day. Now, they may not get even somebody coming in the door that day, but that's not the point. The point is I'm just declaring it. That's what's happening. People are giving me work. In it comes. Money is coming in. I'm talking about those things. I'm declaring things. I'm releasing things. Are you with me? Let's flip over real quick to the next one. Oh, what a beautiful picture. Thanks, Charlotte. Let's have a look at this, just so you can see Jesus talking about the same thing. And I suspect we're going to have to finish on this point. There's a third point, but we won't get to this. So you need to stay with me. We're going to wrap up in a few minutes. So I want you to get this. You with me? Get this part. Look. Matthew 16, 16 to 19. You are the Christ. Oh, hang on. Yeah, this is it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Bit tricky to read, but we did that for you to make sure you're paying attention. You with me? Blessed are you. You remember this. This is Peter getting the revelation of who Jesus is. Remember that? You're the Christ. This is Matthew 16. Some of you will know that. But what a lot of us don't know is the following verse. Watch this. He says, Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon. This wasn't revealed to you by my Father, by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. We've all heard that before, yes? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the next one we don't know. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And here they are. What are these keys? Whatever you bind or forbid or prohibit on earth will be bound or forbidden or prohibited in heaven. Now, that's not like in heaven. There's three different heavens the Bible talks about. That doesn't mean down here we say we bind this and then up in heaven where God is. That's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about the heavenly realm, the spiritual sphere of life. Everything that happens in this natural world is established or birthed in the spiritual world first. Did you get that? If you want to change in your life, in your natural world, in the way maybe you think, in the way your marriage goes, in the way your finances are, in the way you feel about yourself, natural change, experiential in this world change, that happens first in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is a real world that exists at the same time as this natural world, but it's the master world. And that's why every move of God, every significant awakening, every significant thing that God's done in the earth has always been preceded by people praying. People pray. John Wesley discovered it. He only got one out of every nine people in the whole of England to become Methodists in his lifetime, fairly fruitful. And this is what he said, his observation. He rode about 200 and something thousand miles on horseback all over the country. He wrote, I don't know how many sermons, tens of thousands of sermons. I think he wrote almost 200 books, mostly while he was on horseback, 1700 to about 1770, that time. And he said this, all his observation, he said this. It seems to me that God does nothing except in answer to our prayers. See, God doesn't just... There are some things that happen sovereignly. There are some. But for the most part, it's what we passionately desire in our hearts and we put effort into that changes things in the spiritual world, and that changes things in the natural world. Are you hearing me? So that's that, and that's what he's talking about. You can bind, and then it says you can loose, and you can bind, and you can loose or release. These are the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I release things. I bind things. I release things. I talk that into the atmosphere. I don't talk to God about that. God just told me that that's what I do. These are the keys. No point going to God with the keys and saying, here you go. He says, well, why don't you unlock some doors? Well, I thought I might talk to you about it. Or, you know, let's get past the kind of nice religious ideology and why don't you just read what I said and do that? That'll work. That's why I gave it to you. Got to be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Some of us are far too educated to be used by God. You know, we've got to try and figure everything out. Just do what he said. You get to bind and you get to loose. So I'm saying this to these circumstances, and lo and behold, then in that area of funeral work, because summer, you see, is normally a little bit quieter, because normally people die more in winter. I don't know if you knew that. I never knew that until I kind of was more involved in serving the community this way, but that's a fact. But lo and behold, all of a sudden, that area of my life increased significantly. Like double what it did last year. So my income from that part of life, which is a fairly significant part of how Carrie and I budget and live, our income from that part of life, and I'm not doing it only for the money, really, I'm doing it to serve people, but you know, if you didn't notice, you need money to live. So the income for that over the last couple of months has been double what it was last year. But I didn't ask God about that. I decided to act on Mark 11:23, that I can talk to the mountain, that I can say, do this, that I can say, do that. Now, the final question we need to answer then is, how do we know what to do? Is this a thing that I ask God about? Or is this a thing that I should command? Because a lot of us, when we pray, when we get into the prayer place, we're going to say like, well, should I, you know, and we get in this realm. I want you to know that we're going to talk about that next time we meet together, because we're out of time for today. But I'm going to finish with one thought and then we're closed today. And it's this thought. We talked about that faith. If we wind back to Mark 11:23 on this one, watch this. It's worth waiting for. It is. It's very good. There it is. Look. Truly I say to this mountain, truly I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and doesn't doubt in their heart but believes what they say. Most people doubt in their heart. People fail for two reasons. One is they don't even do this. Secondly, they do it but their heart isn't filled with faith, really. They're not really sure that this is going to work. Can I tell you, do you want to know how to get sure? Would that help you? Yeah. Do you want to know how to get sure? Where does this faith come? It comes from this funny word, meditate. Meditate on what God said. Meditate on what God said. Here's a really good example of that. So my last point, meditate. The word meditate, now God wrote to Joshua in a letter. Joshua had a really big job, take the promised land, pretty big job, bigger than the one you and I have got probably. And he said to him, listen, you be sure to meditate in my words, what I said, day and night, all the time, in order that you can do them. Meditate, that word meditate, is not like transcendental meditation. It means, you can write this down if you want, it means to chew over, to think about, to mutter to yourself. That's what it means. To chew over, to think about, to mutter to yourself. And whether you know it or not, you're muttering things to yourself all the time. They call it your what? Inner monologue? Something like that? And whatever you are today has everything to do with what you've been muttering to yourself over the last however many years. And if you sit here and you say, don't feel a very confident person, that's not because God thinks you're not confident. That's not even necessarily because you were born that way. It's predominantly because that's what you've muttered to yourself. And that's a spiritual principle. And because what you mutter and what you think about, how it isn't going to work, and to change, to get faith in your heart. So that's like faith in reverse gear. That's like taking you out of the things of God instead of into the kingdoms of the things of God. But you find the promises of God. So what I do, now I'm older than some of you, and I've been following Jesus for 40 years, and if you go into my house, in my very little semi-office thingy that I have, all over the wall is about 12 A4 pieces of paper with some of them prophetic things, and most of them are Bible things that are there. One of them says, is Isaiah 41, I think verse 10, and it says, do not fear or have any anxiety about anything. You think, well, I thought Pastor Paul would have got... Well, fear tries to get me just like it tries to get you. And the only reason that I can speak into my business world or my financial world or my relational world or the ministry and say to God, this is what happens in our... I'd do the same for you. This is what happens in our Sunday services. Sometimes I ask God, because sometimes that's what's required. But oftentimes I'll just say, Lord, you're visiting us. Lord, you're visiting every single person that walks through the door. Lord, you're giving people encounters. People are getting healed in our services every week. Incredible things, miraculous things are happening in us. I just talk that way. And I believe it because I've meditated on the promises of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, there are lots of them, but let's close with that. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. So you meditate on it. So when I pray, I might spend an hour, it's on the wall, and 20 minutes of my prayer time, if I'm on that focus, if I'm noticing this is an area, fear is trying to get me, lack is trying to get me, discouragement is trying to get me, I'm going to find something and I'm going to meditate on it, I'm going to chew it over. God didn't give me a spirit of fear. Yeah, but you feel fearful. Yeah, but God didn't give me that spirit. God did not give me that spirit, but he did give me a spirit of power. What spirit do you have? I'm chewing it over. I'm muttering it to myself. What spirit? I have a spirit of power, and I have a spirit of love. Yeah, yeah, but you don't feel like it. Yeah, but it doesn't matter what I feel like. That's what I have. I'm muttering it, and then I look at it because it's on the wall, and then I pray, and I say, and I start to say, thank you, God, that is who I am. Now, that won't work. Just like planting a seed in your garden yesterday and expecting a dozen ripe tomatoes today won't work. We're all impatient. Planting those seeds and meditating on God's word today and expecting everything to change tomorrow won't work. But if you'll keep planting and keep watering, and you'll keep meditating, and you'll keep saying, God, whatever you said, that's true. Whatever you said, you're going to do what you said. And you'll start to get into a place, if you just make a little time for God, you'll start to get into a place where you start to negotiate with God. And you start to think, now I understand what Abraham was talking about. And now I understand what that Luke 18 was. It's like, well, maybe it hasn't happened yet, but God, you actually really wanted, this is really going to happen. And you start to feel on the inside this, yes, this really is going to happen. And then you start to talk out of that. You're saying, and then it gets exciting because now you're saying, man, things are changing. Staines is waking up to God. Every person in our church is experiencing a touch of heaven. Great things are on their lives. And then the thoughts come, oh yes, but what about, no, I'm determining. That's an important part of prayer. If you don't ever pray like that, you'll be very limited in what you receive from heaven. It's time for us to take the limits off. Are you with me? I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands and say, take the limits off. It's time to take the limits off. God is unlimited. He can do anything. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these beautiful people today. And I release your grace and your power and your anointing. I thank you they have angels protecting them. I thank you that there's the word of God going into their hearts. I thank you for these seeds of truth that are starting to build new stuff. I thank you, Lord, that their futures are so bright and so awesome in you. And I say, bring it on, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, yay, God. Give God a big hand of praise. Good.